Welcome back into the Friday Night 360 AZ Preview Show. Haley Stasiak and Jordan Hamm here, bringing you a look into semifinal action. We are at that point in the season. We've got another great lineup of coaches today. We're going to start out with Castile head coach Spencer Stowers. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. You guys have a young team this season. How have you kind of seen these guys come into their own?
We've had them for quite some time now. We're still young, even our third year in existence in our program, second year in varsity. But, you know, they've done a nice job working together, and our players have developed. Our coaches do a great job day in and day out, getting our players ready each and every week. So it is exciting to see them come together, whether they're a sophomore, junior, even a freshman on our varsity squad. They just love playing for one another. It's a lot of fun to watch.
Gunnar Cruz is in his second year as the varsity starter. 32 passing touchdowns, just 3 interceptions. How would you assess his junior season as a quarterback?
He's a smart football player, and what he does really well is he puts our guys in the right position to be successful. He's a play caller on the field. He's a signal caller on the field, and he knows where to put the ball. So his ability to play smart, make good decisions, move in the pocket well, really allows us to open up our pass game, and it really opens up our run game as well.
You guys are one of the first schools to start practicing yoga, and you have a lot of multi-sport athletes. What do you see as the benefit of that?
Well, you know, I don't want to jinx anything, but we have not had a significant injury this year. We're healthy across the board. You know, outside of a broken finger or two, we haven't had any significant injury all year. And you know, a lot of that is contributed to our strength program and what Coach Musselman does in there, but also with some of the other things we do, like yoga. The yoga really came about as I wanted more of the mental side of it, give our players, you know, a period during the day on a Tuesday after a hard Monday practice to really just kind of, you know, take it all in and put school in the back burner and put football in the back burner and really just focus on themselves. But it has been a nice change of pace for our kids.
When you look at the points for and the points against for you guys this year, it's incredibly impressive, and you've only had really 3 close ball games this year. But how has the Florence game, the Monte Vista, and the Yuma Catholic game, how has that helped prep you for this semifinal matchup?
Yeah, you know, those games have been big for us, and, you know, we talk about that as coaches, and I know our players feel that. And our players want to compete, so you know, and they know watching film during the week what the game's going to be like, and that's been challenging for us as coaches to, you know, get them ready for a team that's not at the level we are right now. So when we do play teams that, you know, they show us that they're going to come out and compete on Friday night, our players are ready for that. So they're incredibly excited for ALA. Our players and our coaches respect their program and what their coaches do, and, you know, up to this point, our players have put their best foot forward in practice and preparing. So we're excited about the opportunity to play another good quality football team.
With that American leadership team, what do you see as the biggest challenge for you guys?
They have a lot of playmakers. They got a quarterback that makes good decisions. And, you know, they're experienced. They have 11 seniors on defense and 10 seniors on offense. And you can tell they play as a team and they're well coached. So, you know, we just have to make sure that we play our game and we focus on us and minimize mistakes and play great special teams. And I think the outcome will be where we want it to be. But once again, they're a well-coached team, and we have to prepare for a great game, and we look forward to it.
Thanks for coming on with us. Good luck this weekend.
Hey, thank you for having me. Have a good one.
That was Castile head coach Spencer Stowers. Big one coming up against ALA, and as you had mentioned and asked him about those tough matchups, they were tested this season, which at the beginning of the season, it was kind of like they're putting up big points on these other teams, and then they started getting this challenge. And so as they've gotten further into these playoffs, it's interesting to see how this team has fared.
Yeah, and you never really know how a team's going to respond to any sort of adversity. When you're coasting through games, it's really easy to see the good, but you don't know exactly where the potential cracks are. So I think that those games are very good for a team, especially for a young team like Castile. They're going to be going up against a really good ALA team. This is a battle-tested team as well. So this is going to be a really good 2-3 matchup in 3A.
Next up, we will have Notre Dame Prep head coach George Prelock. Keep it right here on the Friday Night 360 AZ Preview Show.
Welcome back to the Friday Night 360 AZ Preview Show. I'm Jordan Hamm alongside Haley Stasiak. We are continuing our semifinal preview by bringing in Notre Dame head coach George Prelock. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
So I was at that game against Queen Creek on Friday night, one of the best games all season. I'm sure it was a stressful one for you. You guys have been able to navigate a very tough 5A bracket and season so far. How have you guys been able to do that so well in such a tough division this year?
And when it comes down to it, we take it one play at a time. It's something that we've preached since the beginning of the season. It's one rep at a time at practice, one practice at a time, one play at a time, and one game at a time. And we just try and focus at the task on hand, and we just try and take it a play at a time, and it's paid dividends for us this year.
Lots of discussion about your offense, but your defense has been great as well. 26 forced turnovers. How big is it to have such an efficient defense to kind of back up that offense?
Well, I mean, it's incredible, and it's huge. It's a game changer. My defensive coordinator, Coach Smith, does a great job, and our defense has been opportunistic all season, being able to score and give us a short field and make some key stops in moments where the opposing team could score. So anytime you have a defense that can force turnovers, it definitely makes it easier on the offensive side of the ball.
Now that we look at the offensive side, the offensive line is so good. Kylan Weiser rarely makes a mistake, and you have two really good guys in the backfield and plenty of playmakers on the outside. Just how have you seen this offensive group develop throughout the season?
I mean, they've gotten better. They've worked at their craft, and you know, the linemen have really been able to, as the season's progressed, they've gotten stronger and understand the different block schemes that we give week to week through the repetition that they have. And Kylan's been going through his progressions, and our playmakers are making plays. Once the O-line provides an opportunity for those guys, they've been able to capitalize, and it's just been a complete team effort. I'm very proud of the way all of our boys have handled everything this year.
When we spoke about halfway through the season, you attributed some of the success you were having to the drive these guys had. Obviously, not being able to play in the playoffs last year has contributed to that. How are you keeping these guys focused as state gets closer?
Well, I mean, when it comes down to it, as horrible as last year was and everything we had to go through, like I said, it was a learning experience for us. We understand the opportunity that we have here, and we're making the most of it, and we haven't forgotten what's happened. We've moved on, but we haven't forgotten. We want to make sure that, you know, when life presents an opportunity, that you make the most of it and you do everything in your power to make sure that you continue to have opportunities.
This Friday, you're going down to Tucson to take on Cienega. What do you see out of the Bobcats when you've been watching the film of them?
Well, they're extremely talented. Their defense plays solid football, and then they're solid across the board. And obviously, the quarterback, Mr. Joyner, does a great job in terms of being able to be a dual threat by throwing the ball and run the ball. And they got some good receivers too. So they're number one seed for a reason, and it's going to be a test. But we're looking forward to the talent.
Coach, good luck on Friday, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate your time. Have a great day.
You too. That was Notre Dame head coach George Prelock. A really good Notre Dame team this year. Like I said, that it was just a brawl between them and Queen Creek on Friday night. A really tough game. Queen Creek came storming back, but the Saints were able to overcome that. And that was one thing that he talked a lot about post-game, was overcoming adversity. What was most interesting that Coach Prelock had to say for you?
Well, you know, something that Spencer Stowers, Castile mentioned, and then I picked up on Coach Prelock saying, was focusing on the task at hand. And when you get into these playoffs, there's nothing more you can do than focus on the task at hand. You can't look at last week's matchup and see, oh, that was a really tough one against Queen Creek. Like, hopefully we don't have another tough one. Like, you're looking at Cienega and saying, okay, yeah, we've got Jamari Joyner. We're going to have to figure out how to stop him. So just focusing on the task at hand and moving on. And like he said, they're moving forward from that adversity that they faced last year, and they're not dwelling on it. They're just taking on that task.
Containing Jamari Joyner is obviously going to be a priority for them. But I think one of the underrated sides of Kylan Weiser as the Notre Dame quarterback is his ability to run. He was very effective against Queen Creek. They were worried about Jake Smith. They were worried about all the playmakers. And he was able to pick up 15 to 20 yards at a time. So that's one thing that the Siena defense will also have to take into account. Just one more thing for that Notre Dame offense. Coming up next, we are going to be joined by Red Mountain head coach Mike Peterson. They're taking on Chandler this Friday. Big game up in 6A. That's coming up next on the Friday Night 360 AZ Preview Show. Welcome back to the Friday Night 360 AZ Preview Show. I'm Jordan Hamm alongside Haley Stasiak. We are continuing our coverage of the state semi-playoffs here this upcoming round. And now we're going to focus on 6A, and we're going to be talking to Red Mountain head coach Mike Peterson. Coach, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, glad to be here.
So, Coach, last year you were last year's Cinderella, and this year you guys are the only team that's a non-top four seed to be in any of these semifinals. How did last year's success and title run help you guys for this year?
Well, I've always contended that teams that make it deep in the playoffs always have an advantage year after year because we play more games. You know, after 10 games are over, other teams are checking their stuff in, and we pull up sophomores, we pull up freshmen, and they start playing varsity games, and they start practicing a varsity schedule, and we get more weeks to practice and more weeks to play, and therefore have more experience year after year after year. So it starts to pay dividends.
You have a pretty solid run game in a few guys like Ty McElroy, Alejandro Luan, and of course Lance Lawson. How have you seen these guys grow in 2017?
Again, it's an experience thing, you know. As we watch the film every Saturday and break it down, and continue to coach and continue to work individual drills and just we coach a kid every play, whether it's in the game or in practice. We coach a kid every play and just continually teach and continue to encourage them and they just gain the experience and the confidence they need to find the crease and press it and puncture where they see it, and if they don't see it, then we'll pull them over on the side and show them on the echo and get them back in the game and keep getting them touches and hope it pays off.
Your team has given up less than 20 points six times this year. The defense is just playing great. I know you started off against two very good offenses in Chandler and Hamilton. When did you see the defense really start to click into what it was this season?
Oh, again, it's an experience thing. Our defense is very complicated with the multiple fronts and the stemming and the multiple coverages, and it just takes experience to play. And when you have one or two guys back there that haven't played varsity football and haven't been in a varsity game, and then you've got a young dumb coach like myself who's putting the pressure on kids, and you know, it took me some time to learn too. You ought to see the difference between me the first game and now as a coach, and I've matured and the kids have matured, and we're just all a different team, and we're all better for it.
You mentioned that experience, and you have some experience facing up against Chandler. What has the tone been in practice this week?
The tone is we expect to win. We're not going out there to survive. We're not going out there to do anything but to compete, do our very best, and we expect to win this game.
When you look at this Chandler team, based off your experiences playing them and then what you've seen in film, what have you seen out of them on the offensive and defensive side?
Offensively, they've got a lot of weapons. They're very talented. As we break the film down, hard to find tendencies. They gain so many yards on first down, so it's hard to find tendencies on second and long or third and long. And so we've got to stop them on first down. We've got to make them get in game situations that they're not used to, that they don't see a lot. So on defense, big up front, fast trigger and linebackers. We've got to maintain our blocks. We've got to know our assignment, and and make sure we get them and get our assignment taken care of, and just chunk out the yards and control the football. Not necessarily run it all the time, but make sure we complete the passes and manage the football game and limit their offensive touches. So we're going to have some fun.
Great talking to you, Coach. Good luck on Friday.
Hey, thanks a lot, Jordan, Haley.
Have a good one, Coach.
Thank you.
All right, that was Red Mountain head coach Mike Peterson. This is a team, like he said, they're coming in expecting to win. They've always sort of had that mindset that no matter who the competition is, they're ready to go. That's exactly what they did last year against Mountain Point. They almost beat that number one seed in the state semis. And really, in my eyes, this Red Mountain team as a 13 seed last year was the first team that really made Mountain Point look human. Mm-hmm. So I have a feeling that they're going to definitely put up a good fight, and this is going to be a very, very good game between Chandler and Red Mountain. What was your big takeaway?
Experience. You don't really hear a lot of coaches attributing stuff to that mm-hmm. and the successes, but he makes a good point in that. It's all about getting the reps, and in anything you do, whether it's football and school, it's all about the reps. Mm-hmm. So they've seen Chandler. They know what they're up against. Obviously, it poses a very big challenge for them, but it sounds like they're very ready to take this on and get things going on Friday.
Yeah, very interesting point that he brought up in terms of getting more games and getting more players to be pulled up. You hear college coaches talk so much about getting bowl games, and then they have another month of practice, and that really helps jumpstart it. So it is totally a snowball effect, and that's why you see probably, you know, a lot of the same teams up top.
Yep.
Because they do get those three or four more games and, you know, obviously more experience for those young guys. So really good stuff. A lot of really good games that we're going to preview here on the other side. We're going to take a look at each and every semifinal game that's coming up next on the Friday Night 360 AZ Preview Show.
Welcome back into the Friday Night 360 AZ Preview Show. It is that time in the show where we are breaking down these semifinal matchups. Haley Stasiak and Jordan Hamm here. We will start off in 6A with Perry at Mountain Point. This one's going to be a good one. I think I've talked about Perry and Mountain Point a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Through this season, you've got one of the best offenses going up against one of the best defenses, a quarterback battle between Brock Purdy and Nick Wallerstedt, who are both big dual threat guys. And then, of course, like I said, the defense with Mountain Point. That's going to pose the biggest challenge to Perry's offense. And then Mountain Point's run game and Gary Bragg and Jakeem McKinney will pose a threat to Perry's defense.
And Wallerstedt,
he's
a huge aspect of this offense as well. But on Perry's side, I mean, what else can you say about Brock Purdy? He has 120 total touchdowns in 3 years. Like, all the guy does is perform. And he's got some great playmakers around him, DeShane James, Colby Dickey, you know, a really good more experienced offensive line. He can just spread the ball around, and it seems like when you think you have him contained, all of a sudden you don't. Yeah, that's the big mistake against Purdy. On the other side, though, as you said, with the defense for Mountain Point, you look at this secondary that they have. I think it's tough to argue that they don't have the best secondary in the entire state. Marshawn Gibson, Tyree Johnson, Delano Salgado, Kenny Churchwell, like all of these guys are ball hawks. They're able just to attack it. Wallerstedt and that offense, you know, it's kind of what I've said in various columns and even on these airwaves is, you know, Mountain Point's the type of team that, you know, when you're playing pool basketball, you'll have the guys that'll try to splash you and, you know, try to get around you. Mountain Point's the one that just hangs on and tries to drown you. You know, they want to control, they want to dominate, and they just want to control the clock. So it's two very different styles that I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens when they come together. And that's going to be one of the games that I'm going to be at this Friday.
5A now, Liberty at Centennial. Now, Centennial pulled out the win against Chaparral in the quarters last week. That game started out like it was going to kind of be back and forth, but Centennial did pull away and ultimately get the win. This is going to be another good rematch, however. And you saw Liberty and Centennial play in that final game of the regular season where Liberty got the upset. So what do you see in this that's going to be key?
Two really evenly matched teams, especially in the trenches. These are two teams that really pride themselves on dominating the offensive and defensive line. You know, Zidane Thomas had a pretty good game against Liberty. He was able to break a big run or two. Alex Escobar was able to get out on the outside, and it seemed like there was a drive where it would be like Zidane Thomas 3-yard pickup, Ryan Puskas from Liberty would tackle him, 3-yard pickup. Ryan Puskas would tackle him. And, you know, it seemed like there were like three drives like that. And then eventually they were able to get the ball out to Escobar and he was able to break one. But don't sleep on Liberty. This is a team. I do think that Centennial should have won that football game. Liberty was basically like a zombie team because they kept coming back to life when you thought that the game was over. And they were able to force some key turnovers. And that's what good teams do. You know, they were able to take the rare mistake that Centennial has and really take full advantage. Ryan Bendel is a dual threat guy. He's slippery. He's tough to bring down. And he just has a nice touch on the ball. Kind of, it reminds me sort of like Baker Mayfield, how he's able just to get a throw on the run off his back foot and just have a perfect touch to his receivers. And as I've mentioned, Ryan Puskas, he's one of my favorite players in the state. I love the way this guy plays. He's a safety. He's great in pass coverage, but he can come up and defend the run really well. So this, I have a feeling this is going to be another really close game. And whoever wins this game is definitely going to earn that spot in the state title and be facing off against the winner of Notre Dame and Cienega.
In 4A, we've got South Point Catholic at Sunrise Mountain. Now, South Point beat Cactus last week 49-14. Again, in the mention of Bijan Robinson, he had 130 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns in that win. And then on the other side of that, you've got Sunrise Mountain quarterback Keegan Freed, who had 3 passing touchdowns and threw for 259 yards in last week's win. This is going to be a pretty good offensive matchup, I think.
Yeah, and I'm going to give a shout out to Arizona Varsity's Ralph Amsden, friend of the show, friend of Sports 360 AZ. He brought up a really good point when previewing this earlier this week on his Periscope, that South Point has those big guys up front, and Sunrise is a very talented team, but they are sort of a smaller team in stature. And Jason Jewell actually was out at Sunrise's practice, but and they were doing tackling drills. Like, they're getting ready. They're pumping themselves up. They know that they have some big beasts that they need to take on against South Point. So Sunrise seems to be prepping themselves properly for this game. And then, as you said, with Bijan Robinson, just one of the best up-and-coming running backs in this state. Love what Keegan Freed does on Sunrise Mountain side. Angel Ruiz is a matchup problem for anybody. I expect him to have a big game. He's really stepped his game up as the postseason has progressed as well. So it's going to be a fun 1-4 matchup there. And I believe Eric's going to that game.
Next up on the other side of 4A is Higley at Saguaro. Now, this is yet another rematch that you saw earlier in this season. Mm-hmm. Saguaro took that one 42-14. What is Higley going to have to do to get this one?
They're going to have to control the tempo. They did a pretty good job of that at the beginning of that game, and they were aided by some penalties that Saguaro had. They were able to get into the end zone pretty quickly. But I mean, this Saguaro team is just so you know, stinking deep. It's really hard. And I was at the Saguaro Peoria game this past week. They forced 4 turnovers in a quarter and a half against Peoria, including a pick six. So when the defense is rolling like that, and it makes that talented offense's job that much easier working with 30-yard fields every time, you know, that's really tough to stop. But, you know, Higley came in, I don't think they were intimidated by Saguaro in any way. You know, they definitely had the respect for him, but they didn't you know, they weren't on their heels. I felt like I felt like they were able to, you know, really compete with those guys. And you know, I'm sure it's really tough to beat a team twice in the same season. We've seen a couple of these, you know, matchups have to happen. So I'm not counting out Higley in any way. You know, Saguaro is definitely going to have to bring it. But it seems like that Saguaro defense is definitely clicking at the right time.
In 3A now, Benjamin Franklin at Push Ridge. Now, Benjamin Franklin hasn't lost a game since the beginning of the season, and then Push Ridge, that number one seed, is undefeated. These are both run-heavy teams, so could see yet another high-scoring game here.
Yeah, and this game's going to be done by 8:30 because just running, you know, the clock's going to be running, you know, not many incompletes. Christian Festus is a guy that jumps out to me for Push Ridge. 15 touchdowns passing, just 3 interceptions, nearly 1,000 rushing yards, and then an additional 16 rushing touchdowns. So you're going to have to deal with him if you're Benjamin Franklin. And then on the other side, you have, you know, just the two great running backs for Benjamin Franklin. Zach Jeffries, Chandler Miles. They've combined for 42 touchdowns this year. So, yeah, this is going to be another one of those, another one of those just, grind them out type games. A winner will get the winner of Castile and ALA. And like we've said, kind of once the brackets were released, the 5A, it's so tough to navigate that. But the 3A, it seems like there were, eight teams that could really navigate that bracket. The top four seeds are in there, but they're definitely contenders. And, it wouldn't surprise me to see anybody in that final game.
In 2A, we've got Santa Cruz Valley and Round Valley. Both of these teams are undefeated. Santa Cruz Valley is looking to take down the number one seed and end that undefeated season for Round Valley. Dust Devils are a run team, so the Elks are going to have to stop that, too.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Just, as we look at 2A, the four teams remaining with Santa Cruz Valley, Round Valley, Thatcher, and Phoenix Christian, just all four of them just have really strong run games. So that's just going to be something to watch out for as 2A progresses.
And then, like you said, Thatcher at Phoenix Christian. I think Thatcher is an all-around pretty balanced team here. So Phoenix Christian's pretty good, though, like you said, in that run game. And their quarterback, Hunter Cole, is a dual threat. He had 29 touchdowns and 6 rushing touchdowns on the year. So good guy there. And that 2A, we don't see a lot of it, but we hear a lot of it, and it's a pretty good division as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Credit where credit is due for the AIA. The only team that wasn't a top four seed that is in this semifinal is Red Mountain. So there may be some discrepancies between who's one, who's two, who's three, and who's four, but for every bracket, the top four seeds are in there. So they did a pretty good job seeding there. I know that a lot of times when there's some questionable decisions or things like that, the AIA is the first to be called out. But credit where credit is due, they did a really good job seeding this entire tournament for all divisions.
Semifinal action starts on Friday with 6A to 4A, and then Saturday night we'll see 3A and 2A action. Be sure to use that Friday Night 360 AZ hashtag both Friday and Saturday. Tweet us your links and your pictures. We will be sure to retweet them. That's all we've got for you on the Friday Night 360 AZ preview show. We'll see you next time.